107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A powerful magnitude 6.9 earthquake has struck off of Japan's two southernmost islands, about 18 miles deep off Kyushu Island. The country's meteorological agency issued a tsunami advisory, predicting a wave of up to 3 feet. For the first time since Putin invaded more than 2 years ago, Ukraine has launched a large-scale military incursion into Russia, a force plunging some 10 miles into the Kursk region bordering Ukraine. Putin vowed to crush the incursion. More news about jobs is coming today. The number's likely to get more than the usual attention.
The weekly jobless claims report is due out this morning, and investors are expected to give it more than just a glance. They want to know if it shows a jump in first-time claims. That could be an indication that the disappointing July employment report really is a sign that the economy's weakening.
ABC's Daria Albinger. This is ABC.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris and running mate Tim Walz in Eau Claire Wednesday. Here's James Kelly.
Vice President Kamala Harris and her newly named running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, held a rally in Eau Claire on Wednesday. Vice President Harris and Governor Walz were met with cheers from an enthusiastic crowd and chants like, "We're not going back." Their remarks focused on their vision for the future of America, including access to abortion, strengthening the middle class, and criticisms of the Project 2025 agenda. Campaign staff estimated a 12,000-person crowd in the Eau Claire event district.
James Kelly reporting. Republican running mate J.D. Vance also in Eau Claire Wednesday. The Ohio senator is holding adjacent events known as bracketing as the Democratic ticket campaigns in key swing states. Vance says it's important for the Trump campaign to talk to people and make their case. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Packers' defense improves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL training camp week 3, and one player who stands out is pass rusher Rashawn Gary. Off the edge in the new 4-3 defense, in the backfield disrupting the offense. Rashawn, on how the defense is looking so far in camp.
I feel like just us as a defense, on just how physical, aggressive everybody is and how we're all on one page.
Now the Packers travel to Cleveland Saturday for their first preseason game. They've also added another place kicker, Alex Hale out of Oklahoma State, and former Dallas Cowboys defensive end Zach Morton. Baseball, Pat Murphy in a great mood after his Brewers beat the Braves in a back-and-forth game. 8-5 win last night in Atlanta. The Brewers manager talking about veteran catcher Gary Sanchez as a clutch hitter.
Yeah, he's a professional hitter, man, and he loves baseball. That's what I love about Gary, to have an older guy who loves baseball. I do an imitation of him right now, but I'll save it. I don't need to dominate this with humor.
Gary loves baseball.
That's Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
On the next Devil's Advocates radio show, Crudy sits down with congressional candidate Rebecca Cook and more polling results from Charles Franklin and the Marquette University Law School poll.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high today, 75, wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine still breezy with a high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and yeah. It really is a melting pot.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Christian nationalism's influence on Project 2025 and what that could mean for America. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Boy, some big numbers generated last night at the Governor's Blue Ribbon Livestock Auction. It's all a part of the Wisconsin State Fair. Morning, everyone. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Welcome to our Thursday. Yeah, the Wisconsin State Fair are going to be enjoying some beautiful weather today, kind of right on into the weekend, which is great news as far as attendance is concerned. No matter where you are in the state of Wisconsin, temperatures are going to stay very moderate. It looks like we're going to maybe keep some clouds in the forecast today, but not really much of a chance of rain. Daytime highs today are expected to touch out right around the mid-70s, so almost a little on the cool side for this side of August. Tonight, clear skies down to the low 50s. Friday, sunshine back on the way, but not real warm. High temperatures on Friday, probably around 70 degrees, and winds are going to gust up to 25 miles an hour out of the northwest. For Saturday, sunshine and 72. Sunday, beautiful. Sunshine, 76 degrees. We'll put a little bit more meat on that frame when Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, joins us. We're also catching up with Mike North, one of the primary owners of EverAg, our brokerage folks that are going to guide us through the dairy trade. Boy, dairy was big yesterday in Chicago. Barrel cheese gained 4 cents. 40-pound block cheese was up 6.5. What's going on there? And Stephanie Hoff also stepping in. You know, Wisconsin farmers faced a lot of weather challenges in the spring of 2024. Too much rain for many meant they didn't get necessarily as many acres planted as they wanted. Now we're finding out even the acres we did get planted might still fall victim to tar spot. Those are just a couple of the conversations coming your way.
Big opportunities don't wait for the winter meeting season. Stay in the know now with Compere Financial's AgriMindset webinars, where industry experts bring you the latest in ag, and you don't have to leave the farm to listen in. Join us August 21st at 1 o'clock for an in-depth hour on navigating technology investments to benefit your farm in today's market. Sign up for Compere's next AgriMindset webinar at compere.com/register. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
This year's Farm Technology Days is growing to the tune of success. August 13th through the 15th at the Country Fest Grounds in Cadott, Wisconsin. This year's show takes a glimpse into the future of agriculture with technology and technique. Visit wifarmtechdays.org for a full schedule of events.
Join our friends from Compere Financial and the Agribusiness Tent 2 and the Midwest Farm Report at the Wisconsin Farm Technology Days on August 13th at 2 p.m. Compere Financial is dedicated to agriculture in rural America by providing financial services throughout 144 counties in the Midwest. Learn more at compere.com.
Farmers know better than anyone that agricultural markets can be determined by events that happen thousands of miles away. It could be weather-related, political, or infrastructure-based. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Dennis Wilmsmeyer joins us. He's the executive director of America's Central Port out of the St. Louis region. While he's about 5 hours south of Wisconsin, he says grain from up north gets to his port in a variety of different ways, as do valuable agricultural inputs. He says it's a reminder of why maintaining strong infrastructure along the river is so vital to agriculture.
Absolutely. So our port moves about 3 million tons of product each year by barge. 60% of that is grain or grain-related products that generally are headed out. So we get a lot of rail traffic, a lot of truck traffic that comes in bringing grain primarily to our facilities, and then from there we're taking it out. And especially from up north, you know, after the river starts freezing over and that sort of thing, we get a lot of that rail that comes down directly to our facility because we're ice-free year-round.
River traffic, how does that mode of transportation specifically benefit an American farmer?
Yeah, barge transportation is the most cost-effective and environmentally friendly form of transportation that there is. So the quicker we can get it to barge, that gets that product out, because most of this is being exported out of the country. So the quicker we can get it to barge from rail or truck, it's going to get there a whole lot cheaper, less costly, and less impact on the environment. So by bringing that into barge terminal facilities, loading it on there, and every barge, people don't realize, but every barge holds about 22 rail cars or about 80 to 90 trucks. And then when you take that, south of St. Louis area where we are, south of Lock and Dam 27, you see 30 and 40 barges tied together at a time. You start to do the math, you realize that that is a tremendous amount of rail cars, a tremendous amount of trucks that we're certainly taking off the highway.
How long does it typically take for a barge to go from the top to the bottom of the Mississippi River?
Yeah, top to bottom. Yeah, that's a great question, because you've got locks and dams in there, so it's probably about a good 3.5 to 4 weeks from start to finish. St. Louis southward to New Orleans, we kind of focus on that because we are really kind of the throat of the funnel, where a lot of these commodities come in by rail and truck to our facility, certainly from all over the Midwest, upper Midwest, and everywhere else. But it's usually about a two-week trip from St. Louis to New Orleans or back again.
Dennis, Wisconsin has been hit with rain this summer. We had drought conditions last year, and now it won't stop raining. What are the implications of that for the river?
Thank you for the rain coming downriver. We appreciate it because we've been low for 2 years in a row now. So this actually has been a benefit in some respects, as long as it doesn't get too high here where the Coast Guard's closing the river or starting to limit that amount of product that can kind of move on the river system. It's just that river level, we watch that on a daily basis. We all have our apps on our phone that kind of forecast what that river level is going to look like. And you just have to, as the river terminal operators, you just have to become very resilient. And within a week, if it's going to flood, you start pulling things out and getting prepared for it. Generally speaking, we get one bad flood about every 10 years. That seems to be happening a little more often now than it has in the past. But, certainly those river terminal folks are just about as resilient as the farmers.
When weather gets wonky, that's got to pose some infrastructure questions for you. What can you do to make the rivers more resilient? Can you give me a sense of some of the work that's going on up and down the Mississippi to continue keeping barge traffic a viable option?
Absolutely. One of the things that was announced last week for the Port District here in the St. Louis area was we have a RAISE planning grant. That is a federal program that we just received about $500,000 to look at actually connecting our rail facilities to our north at our Granite City Harbor to the ones at the Madison Harbor, which really becomes a bypass. It's a resilient or an alternate route in case Lock and Dam 27, which is the busiest lock on the Mississippi River, in case that gets shut down one of these days, right, through either scheduled or unscheduled transportation. So we're looking at ways to continue that barge flow by really creating an outlet to allow that transportation to continue and those commodities to continue to flow.
I was surprised when you explained to us how all of these modes of transportation really work in tandem, and a rising tide raises all boats, no pun intended.
Yes, it does. And as a port district, we are just there to try to keep that price for whoever it is as low as possible. So the better the infrastructure that we have, the more resilient that infrastructure is, the better it is for the farmer and everyone else who's moving that product, trying to sell it elsewhere.
Not just moving it out, but bringing it in as well. Remind us of the important products that are coming upstream that we are importing.
We handle a tremendous amount of fertilizer that comes into the region here and comes upriver. And it does just the exact opposite of when the grain flows into us by rail car and by truck, where we put it on barge. We're taking it off a barge, and we're taking that to rail car and to truck and to temporary storage so that it can be moved to those farm fields on a daily basis.
Another problem that comes up at the state level and national level is foreign ownership of land. Is that something that you also pay attention to?
We do, from the standpoint of, and again, we're not into the, I hear Chinese and others are buying up farmland. That obviously has a concern to us. It's not a direct concern for what we do on a daily basis, but we do hear of river terminal facilities also being purchased by foreign ownership. That is a major concern to us just because of you know, you hear the term bad actors. We are very concerned in that respect that there are, you know, what's their intention? Why are they investing in our facilities here in this country? And once we lose control, how do we get that back again?
I mean, that's happened recent here locally.
Yes, absolutely. So we just recently had a river terminal facility that sold to foreign ownership, and that is a major concern to us. Again, what's their intention? We don't know.
The RNC is going on right now in Wisconsin, and you know, people are seeing the election commercials on TV. Depending on what the next administration looks like, what are you continue to advocate for when it comes to infrastructure?
I would say the biggest one is funding of dredging on the river system, because if that river goes down and we cannot move the barges up and down the river system, that's a real problem. And especially with the high water right now, we're not thinking about dredging, we're not thinking about the next thing that happens, but with all that high water, there's a lot of silt, a lot of sedimentation, a lot of debris that's going into that river system. It's going to end up somewhere, and it's going to deposit in those spots in the river system that if we're not adequately funding the Corps of Engineers to keep that dredging going, to keep that river open, we lose a major artery of transportation in this country. So some areas, I mean, we have sometimes 6-7 feet of sediment that shows up in certain areas in our harbor facilities that has to be moved. It's a lot, and then it accumulates. So it's like snowfall. If you think about some bad snowstorms in Wisconsin, it just piles up, right? And so if you don't have the other one cleared out from the previous one, it just piles up on top of that. So it just gets progressively worse.
Dennis Wilmsmeyer joining us. He's the executive director of America's Central Port. They're in the St. Louis region on the Illinois side of the Mississippi River. He continues to advocate for infrastructure improvements along America's waterways. And he asks that farmers pay attention to this too, whether you directly use a river or not. Dennis says that's because waterways are one of the primary export avenues for commodities and primary routes for inputs like fertilizer. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE. And on the Civic Media app. Matinair on Air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah. What would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald. Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matinair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the punk band Radio for Pets, who will blow the roof off the joint live in the studio, and Milwaukee-based actress and comedian Alicia Alstetter.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Nights too. The grand champion lamb sold for a record-breaking $21,500. The smiling exhibitor Braden Bowers from Belmont, Molson Coors, picked up that record-breaking lamb. The grand champion steer didn't do too shabby. $35,000 for Luke Andis from Burlington. His steer sold to Kenosha Beef for that price. The grand champion hog, $22,500. Amanda, and I'm going to kill this name, Mick Lazuski from Franksville was the exhibitor, and Interstate Parking was the purchaser. And then the first ever meat goat sold during the Governor's Blue Ribbon Sale. Wyatt Nixon from Delavan was the exhibitor. The goat brought $10,000, and Meyer picked that one up. So some big prices. You know, the thing that people always ask me, though, Stu, is, wait a minute, why such big numbers? I mean, let's face it, folks, that is a far cry from market price, but it is an example of how those businesses want to step up, encourage those kids, obviously get some attention, but really encourage those kids. And I don't know about you, Stu, but anybody that I knew that was in a livestock auction at the fair, that money usually went to repay mom and dad for feed, for trucking expenses, and put it away for college, maybe a vehicle, something like that. Did you get a chance to ever sell animals?
Oh, yeah. I sold a hog at the Shawano County Fair way back when, and that turned right around to school money. It didn't last very long, but there was something.
Yeah, that's why I do. I mean, I understand that's a lot of money, and we appreciate those supporters being so strong on that. But don't think that it's getting abused, because like we said, it's expensive to be in the livestock business, and those kids are going to put that money back into the community. And the other thing is, Governor's Blue Ribbon Livestock Auction Group, they get a portion of that money for scholarships and educational events too. So good showing last night. And the good thing about what people can look forward to at State Fair today through the rest of the week is pretty mild weather, although it looks a little windy.
A little windy. Yeah, we're going to pick up on that breeze a little bit Friday and Saturday. Nothing too serious. I mean, it's not going to be a major wind storm, but there'll be some wind gusts up toward 25, maybe a 30 mile per hour gust now or again on Friday or Saturday. We've got a little rain in the neighborhood this morning. Don't let it get you down. It looks like very scattered and sprinkly showers just about La Crosse up into northwestern and north central Wisconsin. Maybe in the Eau Claire Chippewa Falls area near Wausau and further north, just some very scattered light rain being indicated. Not amounting to much, but a cool front has pushed into northwest Wisconsin, and that front will exit out the southeast part of the state by late today or this evening. With the passage of that front, the possibility of a little scattered shower activity will march from west to east in Wisconsin today. Not going to amount to much of anything. Behind the cool front is where those winds become more west and northwest, getting stronger tomorrow, ushering in some cooler air. There will be parts of the state that only see 60s for highs tomorrow. That's a little cooler than we expect here as we make our way toward the middle of August. But we're going to be a little cooler to wrap up the week, staying dry as we push into next week as well. I'll check that forecast right after this.
The old world staples, they stay, but there's new flavors on the way. That's the theme at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here reminding you their retail location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Skip the store. Go to Bavaria Sausage. You can shop anytime online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, BavariaSausage.com. I was talking with Scott about some of the new flavors they've got in their test kitchen right now. One that's been a success and will become a staple, the Berkshire Brat. Scott said that he's going to give people an opportunity to actually visit with the farmers that he's working with to produce those Berkshire Brats. And right now they're taking a look at other new flavors. Best thing you can do, check back their social media pages, Facebook, for example, find out about updates, or better yet, stop in the store and ask the staff for samples. Again, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, Bavaria Sausage. All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, well, some clouds this morning. Sprinkly showers in the west and northwest will slide east during the day. That chance of a shower, a very slight possibility late afternoon in far eastern Wisconsin. Temps today, a big difference. In the southeast, will be in the upper 70s. The further you head to the northwest, the more likely to stay in the 60s today, or maybe near 70. And southwest winds will become northwest around 5 to 10. We clear it out overnight. Very low 50s with the northwest breezes, 5 to 10. Mostly sunny, a little breezy tomorrow. A lot of upper 60s, maybe around 70 in the southeast. The northwest winds gusting to 25. And about the same Saturday, sunny, a little breezy, low 70s. Those west winds still gusting 15 or 20, Pam. It's just air-conditioned comfort by Mother Nature. That's what we're running into.
Although I do have to admit, I was at a field day yesterday, and when you start seeing temperatures that aren't going to really break 60, you start worrying about overnight lows and if we've got something else crazy going to smack us between the eyes.
None of that looks to be in the offing. We just get a little break here.
All right. Well, so far we'll keep it and look forward to maybe a little warm up next week. Good enough, Stu. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, buddy.
All right. See ya.
Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, keeping you up to date on what's happening weather-wise. Coming up, farmers are not out of the woods yet when it comes to challenges for the corn crop of 2024. Stick around for that.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Attention Badger fans, the countdown to kickoff is on. Get ready for Wisconsin football this fall as single game tickets are now available with select games starting at just $35. Don't miss out on big Badger matchups including Oregon and Penn State, all on the home turf. Secure your seats today and experience the excitement and energy of Badger football at Camp Randall Stadium this season. For more information on single game tickets, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit uwbadgers.com. That's uwbadgers.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The choice of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz to be running mate for Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Trump's pick of Senator J.D. Vance raises a question for pro-democracy voters. How do the VP candidates stand on democracy issues? In his 2022 U.S. Senate primary, J.D. Vance embraced 2020 election fraud theories when he told the Youngstown, Ohio Vindicator, quote, "There were certainly people voting illegally on a large-scale basis," unquote, and repeated a conspiracy theory that Meta founder Mark Zuckerberg used election administration grants to manipulate the results. He recently told the New York Times that the alternate slates of electors should have been debated in Congress. Newsweek reported Vance has called for Election Day as a national holiday, widely supported by Americans, but as a tool to end mail-in voting. Earlier this year, Governor Tim Walz signed a bill including the Minnesota Voting Rights Act, restoring protections stripped from the federal 1965 VRA. In 2023, he restored voting rights to 55,000 formerly incarcerated citizens and signed the Democracy for People Act, establishing automatic voter registration, creating a standing mail-in voting list, and requiring more disclosure of political advertising funders. Upon its signing, Walz said, "Democracy thrives when everyone's voice is heard." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Next day, I go to this bathroom. There's like 7 urinals. I'm all the way down on the end. Where do you think this person came in? Not right next to me, but enough where it was weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A powerful magnitude 6.9 earthquake has struck off of Japan's two southernmost islands, about 18 miles deep off Kyushu Island. The country's meteorological agency issued a tsunami advisory, predicting a wave of up to 3 feet. For the first time since Putin invaded more than 2 years ago, Ukraine has launched a large-scale military incursion into Russia, a force plunging some 10 miles into the Kursk region bordering Ukraine. Putin vowed to crush the incursion. More news about jobs is coming today. The number's likely to get more than the usual attention.
The weekly jobless claims report is due out this morning, and investors are expected to give it more than just a glance. They want to know if it shows a jump in first-time claims. That could be an indication that the disappointing July employment report really is a sign that the economy's weakening.
ABC's Daria Albinger. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate Tim Walz campaigning in Eau Claire today.
When Vice President Harris and I and everyone here talks about freedom, we mean the freedom to make your own healthcare decisions. And for all of our little ones to be free to go to school without worrying about being shot dead in their classroom.
Republican running mate J.D. Vance also speaking in Eau Claire today. The latest Marquette Law School poll this afternoon shows Harris and Donald Trump in a statistical tie among registered voters, 50% for Trump and 49% for Harris. The former warden at the Waupun State Prison is pleading not guilty to charges at an inmate's death. Randall Hepp is charged with felony misconduct in office. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Packers' defense improves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL training camp week 3, and one player who stands out is pass rusher Rashawn Gary. Off the edge in the new 4-3 defense, in the backfield disrupting the offense. Rashawn, on how the defense is looking so far in camp.
I feel like just us as a defense, on just how physical, aggressive everybody is and how we're all on one page.
Now the Packers travel to Cleveland Saturday for their first preseason game. They've also added another place kicker, Alex Hale out of Oklahoma State, and former Dallas Cowboys defensive end Zach Morton. Baseball, Pat Murphy in a great mood after his Brewers beat the Braves in a back-and-forth game. 8-5 win last night in Atlanta. The Brewers manager talking about veteran catcher Gary Sanchez as a clutch hitter.
Yeah, he's a professional hitter, man, and he loves baseball. That's what I love about Gary, to have an older guy who loves baseball. I do an imitation of him right now, but I'll save it. I don't need to dominate this with humor.
Gary loves baseball.
That's Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Crude and Dom. On the next Devil's Advocates radio show, Crudy sits down with congressional candidate Rebecca Cook and more polling results from Charles Franklin and the Marquette University Law School poll.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high today, 75. Wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine still breezy with a high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
And especially with...
Boy, our dairy markets had a nice run-up yesterday in Chicago, both barrel and block getting a couple pennies. We're going to talk about why that happened and what's ahead. Our friend Mike North, one of the primary operators at EverAg in Platteville, joining us live on a Thursday morning. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. So glad to see so many of you this week during the Wisconsin State Fair. Hopefully, you've got plans to keep on showing up at the turnstiles right on through the weekend. A tar spot, that is something that's not been showing up a lot around the state of Wisconsin, but we may not be out of the woods yet. Stephanie Hoff's joining me in just a moment with a conversation featuring UW plant pathologist Dr. Damon Smith. So today is the 8th day of August. Let's see, what can I tell you? On this day, back in 1908, the Wright brothers publicly show off their flying machine for the first time. They were in Le Mans, France, and it was really 5 years after they made their first successful flight in Kitty Hawk. I was just at Kitty Hawk for vacation. That happened on this day back in 1908. On this day in 1969, a photographer, Ian McMillan, took that photograph of the Beatles walking across the middle of Abbey Road. Became one of the most recognizable images of the Beatles band since. It happened on this day back in 1969. Happy birthday to actor Dustin Hoffman, 87 years young today and still involved in the industry. And interestingly enough, on this day back in 1968, Wisconsin delegates nominate Richard Nixon as their next president. And on this day in 1974, Richard Nixon announced he was resigning. And now you know. Well, like I said, Wisconsin farmers have been facing an awful lot of challenges this growing season. We started off way too wet for a lot of Wisconsin farmers' preferences. When I was flying in over the weekend from vacation, I could see how many farm fields just flat out did not get planted this year. And if you thought the challenges were behind them as far as weather is concerned, that's not the case. Stephanie Hoff has more.
Tar spot in this year's cornfields has not been a yield limiting factor yet. Damon Smith joins us. He's a plant pathology professor at UW-Madison and an expert on all things field crop disease. Damon tells us that the risk has been high for tar spot, but the severity level has been low. He's hoping the corn crop can hold strong for the rest of the season, but growers might have to step in depending on when they were able to plant their corn.
It's sort of a moderate pressure year, I think, because we're having generally conducive conditions, but we haven't had a dry cycle in there, or at least an extended dry cycle to sort of really get this thing sort of primed up. And so I think, you know, not having that there, it's going to dampen it a little bit. We're kind of seeing that while the risk has been high and folks are finding tar spot. Overall, the severity levels, you know, how much disease is actually there is quite low right now. And so that's a good thing. We haven't reached the upper canopy yet. We aren't seeing yield limiting levels of disease yet. So if we can get that crop through kind of the risk window, then we'll be outside of, you know, really substantial yield reductions from this disease.
And remind us, Damon, if tar spot does get severe, I mean, that can be pretty detrimental to a crop if you don't catch it, right? What exactly can it do?
So we kind of watch what's going on in that upper third of the canopy. If it reaches that upper third and it gets to be about 5 to 10% leaf coverage on that upper canopy, we can start to have some pretty substantial losses. You know, the bad years of 2018 and 2021, We saw some fields, you know, with yield reductions, 40 to, you know, sometimes 80, you know, bushels per acre. So that's pretty substantial. You definitely want to try to avoid that. It's not uncommon to have some tar spot at the end of the season, but we do know low levels are actually not yield limiting. So while it's there and it sort of looks a little bit bad, you know, it's not the end of the world to have a little bit there. What we're trying to do is slow down that progression so it does not reach the upper canopy, because that's where most of the yield is set in corn, at least grain yield. And so, you know, we're playing a game here. We're just trying to slow down and slow that race to the finish, hoping that the corn plant can beat the fungus to the end of the season.
Yeah, and as you kind of outlined earlier, Damon, if you were able to get your corn established early, you're probably out of that window now to fix any tar spot issues. But if you did plant a little later, you've got some time here. I guess, what are you recommending? What should people be looking for in the field? Then what should they do about it?
It's sort of a two-pronged approach. If you really want to drill in on this, I think using the app to kind of understand what the environment's been like, kind of making sure that, yes, the environment's been conducive. We do have local inoculum here. In other words, we're seeing disease pop up, so that means there's spores flying. So again, if we think about that triangle, that's all lining up, right? And so now it comes down to the fact, are we still within the tassel to kind of early milk growth stages? That's really a window where we want to, if we're going to do a fungicide application, that's where we want to be. If we're already kind of through that into the dough stage, which we're probably not quite there yet, even on the early crop, but we're quickly approaching that. We probably don't need that fungicide there. So if you haven't done anything up to this point, you're still not seeing anything scouting, then you're probably outside that window. But if you're starting to see it show up a little bit in that lower canopy, you're still in that sweet spot, you definitely planted late. You know, all of those things sort of come together, and you're probably going to need one application. I've been recommending folks try to wait as long as they can. I know plane availability can be an issue, but trying to wait towards that milk growth stage as best you can, so we can, again, reduce the damage kind of later season is really important. A lot of our research says that one well-timed fungicide application in that VT to R3 window is really where you want to be. And so, again, that later crop is the one you kind of want to watch, and that may be the one you might need to put an application on.
Professor Damon Smith along with us, our crop disease and management specialist out of UW-Madison. He recommends downloading the Tar Spot app. It's called Tar Spotter to stay up to date on this disease. Tar Spotter is meant to assist farmers in making management decisions. It's available for both iPhones and Androids. For the Midwest Farmer Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Big opportunities don't wait for the winter meeting season. Stay in the know now with Compeer Financial's AgriMindset webinars, where industry experts bring you the latest in ag, and you don't have to leave the farm to listen in. Join us August 21st at 1 o'clock for an in-depth hour on navigating technology investments to benefit your farm in today's market. Sign up for Compeer's next AgriMindset webinar at compeer.com/register. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
Join the Midwest Farm Report and Pam Yonke as she kicks off Wisconsin Farm Technology Days at the Oxbow exhibit on August 13th at 9 a.m. in booth 347. Oxbow is a leader in harvesting and application technology. Visit oxbow.com.
The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will also be broadcasting at 11:30 a.m. in booth 520 on 5th Street with Rural Mutual Insurance. Learn how the number one farm insurer is keeping Wisconsin strong with premiums paid here that stay here. Visit ruralmutual.com.
You just heard about the challenges that Wisconsin corn growers are facing with the potential for tar spot. They continue to try to rally around the weather. Latest update this week from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service showed 72% of our corn crop is silking. That's about a day behind both last year and our five-year average. Corn condition in Wisconsin, 61% good to excellent. That's down one percentage point since last week. 81% of our soybean crop is blooming, and about 60% of the soybeans called good to excellent. Our winter wheat, 86% of that's already been harvested. Potato harvest is also moving forward. About 13% of that crop is already off, and they're calling the Wisconsin potato crop this year 91% good to excellent. That's up one percentage point in a week. Markets and overnight electronic trade in Chicago. I'll give you a heads up right now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average still trending lower. Our December corn right now is down a penny at $4 even. November new crop soybeans unchanged right now, 10.18 and three quarters. September wheat, that's up a penny and three quarters, currently at 5.40 a bushel. Dairy got a nice bump yesterday. Barrel cheese was up four, 195. 40-pound block cheese was up 6.5 at 196.5, while AA butter stood still, 310 and a quarter per pound. This morning, September class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up a nickel at 2085. The October contract closed 34 cents stronger, 2116 a hundredweight. So what's going on as far as the markets are concerned, specifically dairy? I love talking with him, Mike North, one of the primary operators with EverAg out of Platteville, joining us live to wrap up our Thursday morning. Stick around. He's just around the corner.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Attention Badger fans, the countdown to kickoff is on. Get ready for Wisconsin football this fall as single game tickets are now available with select games starting at just $35. Don't miss out on big Badger matchups including Oregon and Penn State, all on the home turf. Secure your seats today and experience the excitement and energy of Badger football at Camp Randall Stadium this season. For more information on single game tickets, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit uwbadgers.com. That's uwbadgers.com.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Christian nationalism's influence on Project 2025 and what that could mean for America. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10. News from the center, WRCE.
And black cheese prices. What's the story going on there, buddy?
Well, that happened in concert with a stronger global dairy trade. And if you look at that quick flyover, the results there, every category that's important to us was higher, with the exception of skim milk powder. Whole milk up 3.7%, anhydrous milk fat up 2.2%, cheddar cheese up 1.4%, and mozzarella up 8.4%. And, you know, the key there is that when we compete head-to-head into the world market, that's the price we're always gunning for. That price finishes at 208, which makes the American price very competitive very quickly when you're sitting here sub $1.90. So a strong bid in blocks and barrels yesterday, blocks moving to $1.96.5, barrels to $1.95. When you look at that combined average of $1.95.75, that brings us right back up into the top end of this range. And if you've been watching real close, we have kind of come up and hit our heads against this $1.95 to $2 range four other times over the course of the last 3 months. And now the real question is can we hold it? Can we come up here and stay? Or is this going to be another one of those things like a grasshopper in a jar where we jump up, hit our head, and we fall back down? It's going to be an interesting thing to watch because we are still watching an American consumer that's equally concerned about what's happening in the future. You've certainly seen the stock market, the jobless reports, you know, some of the macro pressure that we've seen in the last few days. So there's no shortage of pressure and concern as we look at the future around this, but seeing a nice hop. And, you know, this isn't just a demand story. It's also a supply story. And, you know, if you go back to the month of June, we had cheddar production down 9%, overall cheese production down 4%. And, you know, that builds off of a shortened milk supply. You know, we've been reading about, you know, bird flu. We've been seeing pressure from, you know, heat stress on cows. You know, the milk just hasn't been there to keep the vats full. Production fell. And, you know, as a byproduct of that, not only have we helped, you know, support the case of a higher cheese price with less fresh cheese available, but we've also gotten a boost on the whey side. So, you know, as we talk milk prices, that's really helped our class three market crawl back up above $20, and in the fall, even push our head above $21 in October. And, you know, you look at whey prices, we're sitting here at 59 cents. We peaked out at 62 cents here this week. And, you know, a bottom line is when you take a look at this type of price, it has been a while since we've been able to talk about 60 cent whey specifically. We haven't touched it since 2022. That's added about $1.25 back to milk prices over the course of the last several weeks. And that's really given this milk market some zeal and some vigor to be able to hold on for higher territory. So in the midst of what would ordinarily be a nice seasonal run up, we're seeing a lot of things coming together to support that seasonality in 2024.
Mike North, along with us live this morning on the Midwest Farm Report. You can find their information online at ever.ag if you're interested. And remember, you can also give them a call at 214-360-0061. Mike, tell me about international demand for our U.S. dairy. I'm getting it as far as our price competitiveness, but what about the global desire for dairy?
Yeah, and so, you know, consumption in this GDP was strong. One of the big standouts was China came back again, and they've been really hit and miss, but they were back in the auction alongside of Southeast Asia, alongside of the Middle East. You know, that's what helped support this last auction. And we're seeing it here, too. I mean, dairy exports have been very strong. Cheese has set records for a series of months up until June. And, you know, June fell off pretty precipitously, but that wasn't a shocker given that prices have risen the way they have since early in the year when we were trading at $1.40 cheese. And it's really that low price that helped bolster those big exports. So we have expected that that would back off some. But it's been firm enough to carry the GDT as it did yesterday. It's been firm enough to see, you know, a few little popcorn sales here and there. You know, we sell a little bit now, we sell a little bit later. But at higher prices, you don't expect these big tranches of orders to sweep into your market and, you know, ask for cheese 3, 6, 9, 12 months out. That's not happening right now. But we are getting the little sale here and there when we get, you know, momentarily competitive. And that's kind of what helped, again, push prices yesterday. But it's decent. But I will say domestically, the big one we're watching is food service. If you look at restaurant operators' feedback about their business, they have literally one of the poorest outlooks as they have since during COVID or during the big financial collapse of 2008, 2009. So their feedback isn't the greatest. So that's why I say we've got this nice seasonal support now. But as we work our way into what would ordinarily be the peak, Sep Oct, we got to make sure that we got eyes on the ball because this thing may not stick around forever.
Yeah. All right. So Sep Oct is when we're expecting them to come in for the holiday, huh? And you only got about 30 seconds.
That ultimately is our normal seasonal peak. It's when we love to be active in the marketplace. And this year looks like it's well supported to be active there again. Yes. That's the time of the year when, you know, school milk is starting to suck some volume back out and compete. We're ramping up for the holidays. All things hit right around that September, October timeframe. And so it's hopefully when we're going to get a better look at even some better prices, but don't look a gift horse in the mouth, as they say.
Mike North joining us live this morning. He is one of the proprietors with EverAg. Find him online, ever.ag. And it doesn't matter if it's dairy risk or ag risk of any type. Check them out, ever.ag. Mike North wrapping us up on a Thursday. Enjoy your day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Young.
This is news from the Setter, WRCE.
Attention Badger fans, the countdown to kickoff is on. Get ready for Wisconsin football this fall as single game tickets are now available with select games starting at just $35. Don't miss out on big Badger matchups including Oregon and Penn State, all on the home turf. Secure your seats today and experience the excitement and energy of Badger football at Camp Randall Stadium this season. For more information on single game tickets, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit uwbadgers.com. That's uwbadgers.com.
A Georgia congressman says Washington is not doing enough for farmers. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Congressman Austin Scott is a Georgia Republican who recently told a convention of peanut farmers,
"We're going to have a serious conversation about whether or not we leave SNAP and production ag tied together. We've gone from SNAP getting 67% of the farm bill to now it gets 80%. If it continues to stay tied together, I think that 80% moves to 85%. The American farmer deserves better than 10%. Out of what we call the farm bill. And if the elected officials aren't listening or paying attention and understanding, they need to recognize that the Americans love their soldiers, they love their law enforcement officers, and they love their farmers. And they want all three of them taken care of. And I can tell you, it's not happening right now in Washington, D.C.
In shows earlier this week, we talked about farm solvency and whether the farm bill being considered will address that. Scott says it needs to happen soon.
2 days ago, I listened to a banker answer a question from a cotton farmer. The people that you're banking today, what percentage of them do you think you'll be able to bank next year if something doesn't change? The response was 80%. Translate that another way, 20% of the people that are farming today won't be able to farm a year from now.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the punk band Radio for Pets. We'll blow the roof off the joint live in the studio. And Milwaukee-based actress and comedian Alicia Alstetter.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to give a quick overview of what goes into your credit score. Now, before I do that, heads up, there is no single scoring system or standard that all the credit bureaus use. I mean, why would they make it easy? But about 90% of the scores used by creditors are issued by FICO, F-I-C-O, the Fair Isaac Credit Organization. I have no idea who Isaac is. A FICO credit score ranges from 350 to 900, and 35% of that score, the biggest chunk, is whether or not you've made your payments on time. 30% is how much of your credit you use. 15% is how many years of credit you have, longer the better. And the remaining 20% is a mix of how many new accounts you've got, if you've got different types of credit, like cards, a car loan, mortgages. Seem a little confusing? A bit. But it's a system we can understand and try to use to our advantage. Check out Work Money Media on YouTube to learn more about how to do that.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.